If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, this is Allison Mattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
Thanks for joining us. Today we're talking about light pollution.
Yes, which is not, that does not mean mild pollution.
Or heavy pollution.
Or diet pollution. We're talking in terms of illumination.
Right. Basically, we're talking about artificial light shining at night, essentially, or shining at the wrong time of day, and night is the wrong time of day.
Correct. Chew on that one, listeners. Basically, we live in a world divided into night and day. Sometimes it's not exactly a 50-50 split, depending on where you happen to live, but still, it's the natural order of things, and when you start filling the nighttime with lights, electric lights,
and Christmas lights,
and all this, you're screwing it up. And that's what we're talking about today: is all the ways you can basically screw up the world around you by lighting it up.
Who knew? So, what do you see when you look at the night sky? I guess it kind of depends on where you live.
Yeah, we both live in the Atlanta area, of course.
The Atlanta area is not renowned for being a excellent stargazing place.
Right. There's no Midtown Observatory because when I look into the sky, I tend to see either like a 747 going over.
I see a lot of those, too. Yeah. Quite a few.
I think that's about all I see.
Yeah. So light pollution gets pretty bad, as you can imagine, in urban areas. Actually, one thing I found was that you can tell how light pollution affects your area by counting the stars in Orion. And Orion is my favorite constellation anyway because it's so easy to pick out.
Which one? What is it shaped like?
Well, it's got the four corners and then it has the diagonal belt.
When you see it in the book, like what does it look like? A man like strangling a goat or something? Like they all look like something tremendously elaborate and it's always like a square.
Yeah, I mean it is pretty much a square. But I picture it as being a man with a toga and a belt kind of on the diagonal.
Okay.
Anyway. So if you count the stars in Orion, you can see about 11 if you live in a place with a lot of light pollution. But wander on out into some sort of cleary night paradise for looking at stars, and you can see as many as 50. So that's just one handy measure that we're going to give to you for
measuring
light pollution.
Right, compared to just all the stars in the sky on top of that. Because I don't know about you, but I grew up in a really rural area, part of Tennessee. It was just out in the middle of nowhere. And I remember just walking out at night and just seeing just this pit of stars above me. You know, it was just like the universe just seemed to go on forever, and you felt like you could just be sucked up into it in any given moment.
Right, like you felt like you're almost in a planetarium.
Right.
Those of us who grew up in places with a lot of light pollution.
It's like that, yeah, except with like coyotes in the woods around you. And yeah, and it used to actually kind of frighten me, because I also watched Unsolved Mysteries and was just convinced I was going to be abducted by aliens at any given moment. If I saw them speeding, you know, through the stars in a little UFO or something, they would see me and they'd have to come get me. And now I'm not afraid of all that stuff anymore, and I find myself missing, you know, that kind of night sky.
So astronomers obviously hate light pollution then, huh?
Right, because, yeah, they're looking for things up there, not so much UFOs or Orion's Belt, which they're, you know, that's just Bush League stuff to them. They're more into things like methane clouds and Titan's atmosphere, you know, and what's going on with Saturn's rings and the hunt for exoplanets. And the atmosphere itself, like even on like a clear day, you know, the atmosphere itself can throw instrumentation out of whack. That's why we send up satellites with telescopes to get out of all that. But throw in light pollution, that just cuts down on visibility even more. You're trying to operate an observatory, and there's like a Stuckey's like down the block with all its lights on. I mean, that can interfere with the instrumentation as well. I mean, you need your darkness to see the stars.
In case you haven't gathered already, we advocate darkness, this podcast. Darkness is your friend, people.
Another group that advocates darkness is the International Dark Skies Association, darkskies.org. On a more localized level, there's, say, Flagstaff Dark Skies Coalition. Flagstaff, Arizona is important because there's a really notable observatory there. So the Flagstaff Dark Skies Coalition has made a lot of efforts to just cut down on how much light is going on in the surrounding area, because the more light in the surrounding area, the more obscured view of the stars you have.
So you get people like knocking on doors and saying, please, sir, turn off that really annoying light.
Yeah, that and like, you know, knocking on the doors of like, you know, local business associations and, you know, city government, county ordinances and all. And you get it to where people are using lights more responsibly at night, or they're using them in the right way. For instance, you know, you want to light a parking lot? Why not just direct the light at the parking lot? No need to have it going off in every direction. You know, it's simple things like that.
Simple things, Robert.
Yes.
So there are a few different kinds of light pollution that mess up the darkness for us all. And one of them is sky glow. And sky glow is just imagine looking down upon a city at night, major metropolitan area of your choice, like, I don't know, Los Angeles, maybe Atlanta. And what you're going to see is just kind of this brilliant blanket of sky glow, and you're not going to see the darkness.
Yeah, it's like any of those, for me, films where you see people going up to like the Hollywood sign and they're looking out at LA, and it just looks like this glowing golden world, you know, that's just light pollution at its sickest.
And then this is my favorite kind of light pollution. You have light trespass. And I love Chevy Chase, and this makes me think of a Chevy Chase movie, Christmas Vacation, when he painstakingly puts up all of his Christmas lights, and finally, oh yay, Chevy, you finally get it right. Or Clark, I should say. And he pretty much blinds the whole neighborhood. So this is like Chevy's light is trespassing on all of the other neighbors and their nice darkness. And I have to say, I'm a fan of Christmas lights, so I was a little conflicted by this type of light pollution. Or it's something like, if you live next to a football stadium and every night is Friday Night Lights for you.
Yeah, why can't they play football in the daytime?
Or in the dark. Why can't they play football in the dark?
They've got excellent glow-in-the-dark materials out there.
They're used to getting hurt. What's a couple more stubbed toes, right? And then you have stuff like glare. And this is just when lights are aiming directly into your eyes, like those really fancy xenon high-intensity discharge lights that tend to blind me when I'm driving. Although I did find a study that says said lights may annoy oncoming drivers like myself, but they don't disable them. I think the University of Michigan did a study on it.
Yeah, that's always a bad sell with, you know, these headlights will disable other drivers. But
And then you have stuff like clutter. And this is a kind of light pollution where somebody just got a little bit too happy and putting up streetlights, and there's an overabundance of them. Or maybe there's a building that's lit up like daytime at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So besides being wasteful and making astronomers mad, it has some serious effects on our health and our circadian rhythms.
That's right. A lot of the creatures on this planet have evolved to live in periods of night, in periods of day. Where they spend most of their time, depends, but still, they're dealing with that system. And again, when you, illuminate a BP station with the light of 1,000 suns, you're messing up that system.
Right. So circadian rhythms depend on light and darkness, and then circadian rhythms impact behavior down the line, like sleeping, like mating, like...
migration, feeding, I mean, just basic activity levels.
Even if you have an animal living in a national park or somewhere out in the wild, you still have residual effects from, you know, nearby urban development. So light is everywhere. Is this a surprise? Not so much. So it seems like artificial light is everywhere. You just can't get away from it. So let's talk about some of these poor animals and how they're affected. One of the ones that stuck with me about light pollution, how animals are affected, was on baby sea turtles. Mm. Did you read that in Jessica Treithman's fine, fine article?
I did, and I'm familiar with that one from family beach visits in the past. Sad stuff.
Yeah, so when these baby sea turtles hatch on a beach, they're supposed to head to the water.
Right. Nice, you know, some moonlight playing over the waves. That's how they know where the ocean is.
Right. But then you have things like bright beach lights illuminating the fine white sand, and the poor turtle gets confused. And sometimes he'll even head off in the wrong direction, and what do you know? He gets hit by a passing car. He ensconces himself in a seaside resort. It's bad news for
the
baby turtles.
Sad either way you look at it.
Yeah, light pollution, not good for the baby turtles. Then you have things like owls. And owls, like you guys know, are nocturnal, so they take advantage of night to hunt more, and it increasingly drives their prey into hiding.
They're out there to catch animals that live at night, and if you have it lit up like day, those animals are going to be gone.
And then you have stuff like bioluminescent species, and these are just the organisms that light up per a chemical reaction. So on land, this might be fireflies and fungus. And then in the water, you have fish and algae that light up. And the problem for these tireless bioluminescent species is that all of a sudden they have competitors, which is the artificial lighting. And it poses a problem.
There's another animal special note, humans. Humans, of course, have to deal with periods of light and darkness like everything else. Most of us tend to spend that time working during the day and sleeping at night, right? It's interesting. I looked at a number of different studies, and some of this is mentioned in our How Stuff Works article by Jessica Toothman as well. It seems like it's a careful balance, you know? It's like we need a certain amount of light, and that's pretty obvious because, you know, you have a lot of people really have to have their light or they grow depressed. It's, you know, seasonal affective disorder, et cetera.
Sure.
People that live in the far north, places like, you know, in Alaska or, parts of Scandinavia, they actually, you know, have to have light treatment. You know, they'll like wake up in the morning, turn on a certain kind of lights to just help raise their, you know, their levels, you know.
Stop them from drinking all the time.
So, yeah, we take that for granted that humans need light to survive because, you know, we've all seen movies where people like, live underground and turn into some sort of grotesque monster, right? But, there are a lot of ill effects as well to not getting enough darkness. We really need those periods of darkness to remain healthy. This is how it works. All right, we perceive light through our retinas, right?
Yeah.
And this then suppresses the pineal gland, which pumps out melatonin.
A hormone, right?
Right, a hormone that regulates estrogen and testosterone. Okay, so if you're not getting enough darkness, you're not going to produce enough melatonin.
Okay,
all right, your
that makes
melatonin,
sense.
Or at least your melatonin levels are going to be significantly lower.
Okay.
To break that down, like they say that less than 40 minutes of basking under an incandescent light bulb can reduce melatonin levels of up to 50%.
Right, and you want more melatonin because this is what regulates your circadian rhythm.
Right, it helps regulate your sleep cycle. Exactly. A number of you may even take it as a supplement. I take it as a supplement to sleep at night. So yeah, and additional studies have linked artificial lighting to breast, colorectal, prostate cancer, and there was even an interesting interesting study from the Journal of Pineal Research.
Who knew there was a journal with that name?
I know, it's pretty specific. They indicate that women in developed nations are 5 times more likely to get breast cancer than women in underdeveloped countries.
And they're thinking there's a link somewhere in there that's related to the amount of light?
Yeah, they're just saying that people in these more developed countries are, like a lot of us, are living in environments where you look out the window, you know, there's a gas station gleaming in the night. You know, you look overhead and you just see the glow of the city. And lights everywhere. You know, you get up in the night, you turn on 6 or 7 lights just to go use the restroom, right? But if you live in a less developed nation, you're more likely to, say, get up in the night and go, you know, relieve yourself in the darkness.
I use the restroom in the darkness anyway. Who turns on the light to go to the bathroom at night? I mean, that is so stupid. I always make it a game to see if I can do as much as possible in the darkness.
Well, I like to turn on the lights when I use the restroom.
Well, then you're going to have to pay the consequences with your melatonin there, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. But this brings us to the point. What can we do to cut down on light pollution, right?
We can do a lot of stuff.
All right, name one. Give me something.
Turn off the light.
Yeah, that's a big one. Just if you're not using it. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you're a kid and your dad's telling you, turn off the light when you leave the room. Another one is you don't really need a high-watt bulb in every outlet. Even if they are energy-saver bulbs, cut down the wattage of... You're not going to be performing, you know, minor surgery by it.
Dimmers. Dimmers are your friend. I understand.
Mm-hmm. There are also fixtures can be really important. Like I mentioned earlier, make sure that you have a fixture that covers enough of the light and where it's focused on what you need it for. You know, if you have a floodlight, point it at what you're flooding the light on. It doesn't need to just go everywhere.
Yeah, and incidentally, didn't you find something about floodlights creating pockets of darkness anyway?
That was something brought up by the International Dark Skies Association, because, you know, one argument against the whole, you know, controlling light pollution thing is people say, hey, I live in a terrifying neighborhood and I am going to keep these floodlights on to help protect my home. And
plus, lights make people feel safe.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you look at any safety list and that's one of the big ones. Illuminate your house. I mean, I stand by that. But they also point out that if you have, like, a lot of artificial lighting going on in an area, you also end up creating these pockets of darkness, which are really kind of excellent hiding places. Because anybody driving by, your light's going to adjust to the really bright lights, and and wherever there's darkness, it's just going to be deep, impenetrable darkness.
So maybe something like motion sensor lights would be a better call.
Yeah, that would be a perfect call. And, you know, the advantage to all this, too, is it also cuts down on your electricity bill at the end of the month.
What about Christmas lights? Do you think they would be against
them? Hard to argue that they're necessary.
Yeah, I don't know that they're necessary, but they do make me feel festive.
Yeah, well, where did your Christmas lights, on a scale of like 1 being like total natural darkness and 10 being like Griswold family Christmas, where do you fall?
I would give them, I think they fall right in the middle, like a 5.
Okay.
They're very tasteful too. I only use white lights.
Well, that's not as extreme an example of light pollution as one of my favorite examples is something they apparently had in the 1980s here in Atlanta.
Okay.
Called Light Up Atlanta. Have you heard of this?
No.
David Cross references it in a comedy bit he did. And basically, it seems like what this consisted of is they would turn on all the lights in downtown Atlanta. Just like all in these, you know, high-rise buildings, just light it up. And then they would block off the streets and people would just flow in from all, you know, the surrounding areas. And
to look at the lights in the building?
To look at the lights and drink in the streets and listen to bands play and whatnot.
Really? So it's just a lit up building that people were looking at?
Well, a whole bunch of lit up buildings. Like the city, they're lighting up Atlanta. And I guess, you know, sea turtles are just wandering in, you know, from as far as close to the Pacific Ocean to, you know, die in the streets.
So what I'm getting from this podcast is, are we better off in the dark? Well, maybe not totally dark, but a lot more dark.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot of us could probably use a little more darkness in their life. And I mean that in a illumination way and not in a gothy way.
So if you want to read more about lightness, darkness, and anything in between, check out HowStuffWorks.com.
Or visit the blogs at blogs.howstuffworks.com. And you can read about everything from flu-ridden mall Santas to robotic book sniffing.
Thanks for listening, guys. Podcast is over. Turn out the lights.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.